This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We all remember March 11th between the Jazz and the Oklahoma City Thunder, where Rudy Gobert did test positive for the coronavirus, and in a snap of the finger, really, the league did shut down, and that was really the first big-time wake-up call, in my opinion, for us here in America, as we did see our lives get turned upside down, and the entire world really did change, and a big part of that was sports shutting down, where people started to understand the magnitude of this virus. We'll head out to the guest line right now. He was on the call last night as the Jazz did defeat Zion Williamson and the New Orleans Pelicans in the first game back in the regular season of the NBA restart. And that's Craig Bowlerjack, the play-by-play voice of the Utah Jazz. Craig, appreciate the time. How are you?
Hey, Zach, I'm well. Thanks for the call. It's good therapy to stay involved, you know. And it was good to get back playing some basketball last night.
Well, take me back to March 11th. What was it like that night covering the Utah Jazz and just being around a night which we're going to look back at for years and years to come?
You know, Zach, honestly, I kind of was looking for Spielberg. I thought it was a movie. I was waiting, you know, for it all to just kind of – it was so surreal. But I knew it was real. We knew that Rudy, before we got on the bus, myself and Donovan, Joe Ingles, Royce O'Neal, and Thurl Bailey, my analyst, we sit down with Quinn Snyder, and he said, look, guys, heads up. As you head to the arena, Rudy's being tested. And I thought, holy cow, this could really turn things upside down. And then I kind of got into the game mode. I knew that Rudy wasn't going to play. And as we sat courtside, and Zach, luckily we were courtside in Oklahoma City because a lot of arenas have moved broadcasters here and there, mostly upstairs. And so it was really a godsend to be close to understanding what the conversation was. And then on the corner of my left eye, just seconds before we tipped this game, you know, game up, Tony Bradley, the young kid out of North Carolina, was going to get his third start of his career for Gobert. And an Oklahoma City physician was jumping on the floor. And then in my mind started to click, oh, boy, they've stopped this game. There was a long discussion. We took a timeout, came back, and I knew at that time that Rudy had tested positive, and that this game was going to be suspended. And I'll never forget the words. Quinn Snyder right in front of me said, guys, let's go to the locker room. And that's where they headed. And then immediately after I signed off, a minute or two later, I get a text message and said, get to the locker room right now. And so I left bags and I left my prep work and all that. Zach, you know how that is. You just kind of go, okay, let's go back and get the word. But little did I know that they would walk us into a room and shut the door. And from that point on, we really didn't hear from anyone for about 3 hours. And then Quinn Snyder knocked on our door, and our broadcast team was there, radio included. And they said, look, guys, we're going to bring some food in, some drinks, and we are. You will be tested. We will not abandon you. And, you know, I think at that time you don't know what's really to expect. Like I said, it had a feeling of a movie, and we were just bit part characters in it. And sure enough, about 12:30 at night, we were ushered into another room. The Jazz had already been tested. We took our turn, and we were met with, you know, individuals in hazmat suits, and we went through that process of the nose swab, the throat swab as well. And then bust, around 2:30 in the morning to a hotel, and we were told to stay put. And then I got a phone call the next morning at 8:45, and I said, all right, my life can change right here. And I heard the words, you're negative. But I also heard that Donovan was positive. So the whole process continued with meetings with health officials, and finally Delta was able to find a couple of pilots and a flight crew to actually fly us back to Salt Lake. And then we met with Utah health officials as well in a hangar, who gave us really kind of the rundown of what we had to do and put ourselves in self-quarantine. And so I followed the rules and regs, and here we are today. And it was just a great feeling to get back and call a ball game, despite the fact I was, you know, 1,500 miles away and calling it off the Jumbotron at Vivint Smart Home Arena in Salt Lake City.
What is that like, being in an arena? And we always know regular season basketball, playoff basketball, the crowds are so raucous. And now you're in the arena and maybe you have a stats guy with you, your color analysts and a few other people, and you're broadcasting a game that means so much to people, but there's not many people around you.
No. Zach, again, it's surreal. It's the arena, they're built to be alive with fans, noise, and the highs and lows of a game. And there's seven of us inside that building that holds about 19,000. Thurl Bailey's to my left, about 12 feet. Chris and Kenny, our sideline reporters, on the other side of the arena, our two radio guys, are directly across from us, so I never see them. And we have to enter with masks. We have a machine that you are scanned, and it talks to you, and it says, yes, you may pass. Your temperature is normal. And then I go to an elevator, and I go right upstairs, and I really don't have any contact with anyone because our crew, our production staff, is outside in our production truck. And so it's amazing. It's amazing we got on the air. It's an amazing thing how the NBA has put this together. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I really wasn't sure we'd get to this point, but I salute Adam Silver and an incredible staff who made this happen. And let's hope that the bubble stays secure, because it's fun to be, you know, back at it.
Craig Bowlerjack, the play-by-play man for the Utah Jazz, here with us on CBS Sports Radio. You mentioned sideline reporters, and you guys aren't in the bubble. How does that work? We all know technology is ridiculous, but are you guys getting players after the game? Are there coaches' interviews? Like, how is that going down?
Yeah, you know what they do? Zoom now is everything, right? Skype, Zoom, whatever the company, you know, decides to use. But, yeah, I've had more Skype and Zoom calls over the last month and a half than I ever thought I would. But it's in vogue right now, and it really has saved the day. It's a way to communicate with a lot of people, especially in the bubble. And I do talk to Quinn Snyder. He holds a press conference every day, and then they bring in two players after practice. And then he and I have our coaches show that we continue to do. We broadcast at three scrimmages, so he and I warmed back up again, you know, after things shut down in OKC. And then last night he joined me. So it's kind of like it was, but not really. I miss that connection, the body language you don't get to see or feel. He has decided to keep his mask on during the interviews, so you don't really get any, you know, expression from him. And so you really have to, I think, as a broadcaster, I found last night, with not a lot of crowd noise, and they try to replicate with a few, you know, music numbers from the Jazz arena. But it's just not the same, Zach, as you know. I mean, we all feed off the energy. The calls, my calls are fed off those energies of the players and the fans. And it just doesn't have that same feel. So for me, I'm tested. You know, I've got to bring it, and I don't want to overplay it. But I also, I think I have to compensate some for the lack of energy that the building, you know, automatically gives you. So that's what I really found in the scrimmages. Felt a little more comfortable last night, but because of opening night. And we've got another game tomorrow afternoon against, Oklahoma City. So hopefully this game is played, and we'll get two under our belt.
How do you approach that game up against OKC? Because that was the game where the shutdown did occur. I'd have to imagine that's going to be a big storyline, but then yet again, it's your second game back.
Yeah, you know, I think there's some balance there. The last night, the Jazz played really well early, up 11, fell down by 16 to New Orleans, and then rallied back to win by a couple. Donovan Mitchell played extremely well, Mike Conley in the second half, and Gobert. How about that story? I mean, Rudy was the first one to be tested positive. He scored the first bucket of the restart last night and then hit the two free throws to win it. It's an amazing thing, life. You know, he went through so much hell because of the microphone grab, and then, of course, the fear of what coronavirus and COVID-19, and then Rudy becomes a part of history again last night with the restart. So that game still plays in our mind, but obviously the Chris Paul, the Dennis Schroeders, and the Steven Adams comes back into play because, honestly, Zach, those are the last guys I saw. I mean, I saw Paul, I saw Zach, excuse me, I saw Adams to my left, and they were kind of like, what's going on? And then they got word, and then I saw them take a left turn back to their locker room. So, yeah, I think it has a big importance to the Jazz, probably more to Rudy and Donovan, because that's where their tests were positive, and that's where really their life changed, right there in Oklahoma City.
Craig Bolajack, the play-by-play man for the Jazz, here with us on CBS Sports Radio. I remember, you know, right when we were talking the days after and we saw the microphone situation with Rudy Gobert when he was coughing over the microphones, and I don't think there was malicious intent there.
No.
You look back at it, and I don't want to say I gave him a pass, but I don't think many of us in America understood what was coming ahead. How do you look back at the way that Gobert was perceived, really from the night he tested positive until pretty much like a week and a half after that?
You know, Zach, I think your comment is spot on. I don't think anybody, none of us knew where this was going at the time. Gobert, in his own way, is a jokester, you know, much like Joe Ingles. I mean, these guys make the locker room fun and loose. And I think, you know, again, he's, at the time, 26 years old, and, you know, he's growing up. And I think, again, he wishes it hadn't happened. He was the centerpiece of COVID-19. And, you know, talking to him before he left and just over the last couple of days, he's made a couple of appearances on those Zoom calls, press conferences. And I think he really has understood, you know, people grow, people learn. And I know that's a heavy philosophy of discussion, but it's true. I do, you do, everyone does. I think a lot of people are quick to forgive if the individual understands what he did. And I really believe Rudy did understand, and he was apologetic. And I think that he has grown, and I think he has solved his issue with Donovan Mitchell. I have seen no indication that those two have any issue since that night, and I think they've worked it out, and they both have grown over it, Zach. I really have. So sometimes out of a horrific situation, at least for Rudy and maybe Donovan, they've grown as men, and they understand, I think, maybe what they're who they are and what they represent, and maybe even have a better appreciation for life and the game of basketball.
So you don't look at that as an issue moving forward between Gobert and Mitchell, right?
No, I don't. I think it's behind them. I think they've made it clear. Donovan didn't, you know, he spoke once, and it was the fact that he didn't want to drag this into the social media platform. And, you know, I applaud him, but again, silence sometimes fuels more rumors. And so my gut tells me the body language on the floor last night and in the three scrimmages, I don't see it. In fact, in scrimmage two against Miami, all four of his assists went to Gobert. And Rudy likes to have that ball on top of the rim, and Donovan found him. And he had a 20-point night. So I think they're both on the same page, and I think they've also been led very well by Quinn Snyder, the head coach, who has had I think he has the ability to really get down and dirty and just say, let's put this on the table and figure it out. Because what's best for the team really is what it's all about. So Donovan and Rudy, to move forward and the Jazz moving forward, those two have, you know, have had to put it, you know, behind them.
Craig Bolajack, when we look at Bogdanovich not being there because of the wrist surgery, how do they replace his presence?
Well, it's hard. Bogey was a huge acquisition in the offseason. You know, 20 points a night, 41% from outside. He's a good finisher, better than I thought. I think we all kind of were locked into him just being a three-point guy, but he's a stronger player than I thought and a finisher at the rim. So what Quinn Snyder has done in the scrimmages and Zach, what we saw last night, he's going with the four-guard lineup with Rudy as the post, and you're seeing Jordan Clarkson play a bigger role here, the sixth man that the Jazz got from Cleveland for Dante Exum. Mike Conley, I think, has finally gotten into better rhythm and in a more comfortable state of mind after playing the 12 years in Memphis. I think he finally understands he doesn't have to have the ball in his hands the entire night like he did in Memphis. He's got ball handlers alongside of him in Donovan. He's got ball handlers in Joe Ingles, and he also has a ball handler in Jordan Clarkson. So what we saw last night was four guards playing a lot of minutes together, trying to up the tempo, forcing turnovers, and also knocking down threes. If you're not hot from outside, then you have to adjust. But last night the Jazz had a hot start, a cold middle, and they finished strong. And I think we'll continue to see this kind of lineup from the Jazz as the seeding games continue on.
With Zion last night, they only played him 15 minutes. I understand load management. I understand managing the minutes. When you're fighting for a playoff spot, could you give me 18? Could you maybe go 20? I'm not asking for 35, 40, but only 15 minutes. I thought that was a bad job by the Pelicans last night.
Yeah, I was surprised too, Zach. Alvin Gentry just kind of let him. He called him, I'm going to give him burst minutes, and he would go four and then rest and go three, and he had seven at the half, and then he really kind of disappeared in the fourth quarter. You know, and I'll be honest, that was a big loss for the Pelicans. They were 3.5 out of the Grizzlies, right? So they lose, and now they start to have to run uphill in a very crowded chase for that final playoff spot in the Western Conference. So for the Jazz, it was a huge win to start because they're trying to chase down Denver for the three and also hold off Oklahoma City, who started last night a game out of the four spot behind Utah. So, yeah, it was a big win for Utah and a big loss for the Pelicans. All these games that will impact, right? And that's going to be the beauty of why I think a lot of fans are back tuning in to watch these games. Eight games really in the world of the NBA, as you know, isn't a lot of basketball. And so whoever hits that ground running and finds that groove and some confidence early is, may surprise some people.
Craig Bolajack, before we let you run, we get in that conversation of seeding and how important is it with no home court advantage. Is there a team, when you look at these potential matchups in the playoffs, that maybe Utah wants to avoid?
Oh, boy, I tell you. They've always had struggles with Harden, and now they've got Westbrook. So I think if you really got down to it, people would say keep the Rockets away. If you had to play Oklahoma City as a 4-5, that's doable. But what it does, it sets you up with a second-round matchup, most likely with LeBron and the Lakers. If they can sidestep the L.A. teams, and they could jump into a 3 spot, that would be the most probably the best scenario for the Jazz to jump into a second-round playoff matchup. So, if they get to 3, I think that's the goal. If they stay at 4, they'll live with it. They don't want to drop and find themselves in a position to have to take on, the Clippers or the Lakers if they would have some real struggles and even drop down to the 8 spot. So if they can stay where they are, Zach, or even jump to 3, we'll see how Jokic and the Nuggets play. I think that's the best case. I don't think anybody wants to play LeBron or Kawhi. What a game last night. 2 points separated those two teams. And LeBron's on another mission as Father Time continues to chase him down. But LeBron keeps running away from him. It's an amazing thing to watch.
And last one for you. If you can't take Milwaukee in the East, is there a team that you like?
Oh, my gosh. How about just Toronto sneaking in? I tell you, they've
been great. It's unbelievable.
I tell you, most teams would just falter, I think, after you lose Kawhi and all the hype and the disappointment of him leaving and going west. But I got to give a lot of credit. They've done a marvelous job to stay put together. And I think they're on a mission themselves to prove that it just wasn't a Kawhi championship. It was about team. And there's something to be said about team. You know, we lose track of that sometimes, that we think millionaire players just play individually. No, I'll put the Jazz in the same category as Toronto. They have their own mission. Oklahoma City's burned deep in their brain. They went through their own hell on March 11th. And, you know, Zach, honestly, I think teams that find that extra motivation in this bubble and that can mentally stand up to this stress of being away for upwards of 3.5 months, maybe those two teams are in the forefront of just the mental. Well, they've already been through the mental test of it, right? So we'll see where they go from here. But I think Toronto, if it's not Antetokounmpo and the Bucks, I'm interested to see how Toronto responds too.
Greg Bowlerjack, good health. Good luck. Have some fun doing these games. We appreciate it.
Hey, Zach, anytime. Take care of yourself.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.